This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Oh, we're up all night to get lucky. I'm a lucky man. Luck be a lady tonight. Isn't she lucky? I should be so lucky with a little bit. Oh, we need to start the podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the Blue Monday podcast. Was your good Friday, Craig? In the words of Larry David, mine was pretty good.
Yeah, as someone's mentioned in the comments already, it was a long good Friday.
A long good Friday, Dave. What a dramatic day that ended in the best way possible.
Just an incredible, absolutely incredible day. You couldn't have made it up, could you, if you tried? I mean, fair enough, Leeds, oh, we'll get to it. Leeds got a late equaliser, which on the balance was probably deserved, but they didn't win, which enabled us to stay top.
Stay top? Take top. How about that? And we are into April. Well, by the time we get to the next game tomorrow. Welcome, everybody, to the Blue Monday podcast. We are here live on YouTube. If you are here with us, get involved in the chat. We'll go to some Q&A later in the show. We're going to twist things around a little bit because we're only one day out from that Southampton game. We're going to talk about Southampton a little bit earlier in the show. And we're going to do some predictions for the last seven games of this unbelievable season. If you are listening after the fact on podcasts, we appreciate the hell out of you. And in the 12:30 kickoff, the most credible, glittering striker in the Championship, Jamie Vardy, misses chance after chance after chance. Wow. And one of our old foes who did for us for Wickham in League One, Anis Mehmeti, shoots Bristol City to a win over Leicester. Ladies and gentlemen, it is on in the 5:30. But first, Southampton versus Middlesbrough at 3 p.m. Well, Southampton are on their way to a victory. There he is, Emmanuel Latte Laugh, having the last lap with a late equaliser. They fight for points, David. My God, what is going on? And here we go to Ipswich Town versus Blackburn. They're going to call me hyper in the comments, Dave. I don't care. Here is your team, Craig. Clagge in goal. Tuan Zabi in at fullback. Wolfenden, Edmondson, Davis, Luongo, Morsi. Broadhead, Chaplin, Hutchinson. We think Burns gone for the season. Kiefer Moore, talk to me about that 11, Craig.
Yeah, it's probably the 11 we would have all chosen, I would imagine, if everyone's fit. The only question marks were probably over Kiefer Moore, given he was slogging his guts out in Cardiff for a couple of hours midweek. But as we all know, he's integral to the way we play. So if he's anything like match fit, he'll certainly be starting. Other than that, Cameron Burgess, obviously travelling halfway around the world Thursday, probably wasn't ideal for him. So Edmondson came in for him, which again, I think is the pretty sensible, logical replacement. And yeah, apart from that, it's as you'd expect, really.
Dave, anything to add?
No, I don't think so. I think Burgess, it was fairly obvious, as Craig said, he literally did travel halfway around the world, so clearly wasn't really ever going to start. And yeah, Edmondson, more than a decent enough replacement, as you said. Looks like, unfortunately, Burns is going to be missing for the foreseeable. No surprise, Chaplin fit, and Hutchison moved out wide.
Blackburn, Pears. More from him in a minute in goal. Britton and Picker in the fullbacks. Wharton and Higham, the centre-backs. Rankin Costello, more from him in a little bit as well. And Tronstad in midfield. Hedges and Crescent, who Dave is going to definitely describe as neat and tidy on loan from Aston Villa. Smodic, our old foe, who always scores against us. And Tyrese Dolan up front. Craig, let's get straight into this first 10 minutes where we get a very VAR-able possible penalty on Broadhead. And then, I'll let you describe the goal using whatever words in the English language you care to.
Oh, as opposed to like giving me a select 20 words that I can use to describe it, yeah.
There might have been one linked through all the songs that I was singing just before the podcast went on air that definitely didn't go to air that Twitter seems rather obsessed with. But don't worry, I don't have that big a bee in my bonnet about that, Craig.
Did Kylie Minogue sing about twisting and turning on the halfway line and clipping it with the outside of her left foot over to Leif Davis?
Craig,
she was ahead of her time.
Kylie Minogue can sing about anything she wants.
She was ahead of her time, that girl. Because we were up the other end of the pitch. So in regards to that Broadhead pull, we sort of had a similar view to the ref. To be fair to the ref, we probably had a similar vantage point, albeit 80 yards further away than the ref, in that we were staring straight at it. And nobody around me, and no, from what I could hear in the crowd at our end, thought it was a penalty because we couldn't really see the pull. We pulled back. All we saw was Broadhead sort of attempting to overhead kick it. When you look at the replays, obviously I watched the replays the night when we got in on Friday night, and you could sort of see from one of the replays that looked across the pitch, and you could sort of clearly see the pull, that the linesman looking across from the left-back side could well have given that, you would have thought. It does look like a penalty in the cold light of day, which is strange considering the absolute sheer dog's abuse the referee got from the Blackburn fans as he walked off the pitch at halftime.
We'll get on to the reason for that, Craig.
Yeah. But we played well. We were playing really well. Our passing was on point. We were moving them about. This is from the very...
Their pressing was pretty intense from the word go, Craig, as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But we were in one of those moods whereby we weren't letting them get out from their own third very much. So they were clearing it. We were on it straight away and going again. It was one of those halves, really. So as I say, yeah, we play well. Morsi and Luongo were dictating things. And then we got to the point whereby, the ball was played into Chaplin 10 yards inside our own half, and he span their man, and it was very similar. Hutchison had done very similar very early doors and got their left back booked. Forgive me, I can't think of his
Pickering.
Yeah, he got Pickering booked very early doors. But then, funnily enough, after that, Pickering defended against him really, really well. Yeah. We thought, well, after 5 or so minutes, whatever it was, he's got booked. Hutchison is just going to run and run and run at him, but it didn't really transpire. He defended really well against him. But similarly, Chaplin span his man, got fouled. It would have been a free kick, but the referee played on. Chaplin got back to his feet again, and as he does, drove into the Blackburn half. And then he plays this lovely ball, the outside of his left foot, and sort of threads it across the pitch in between three Blackburn players out to Davis, who, as ever, is lurking around the opposition's 18-yard box. Chaplin continues his run towards the centre of the pitch. Broadhead takes his marker away, running towards the outside of the pitch, allowing the well-known combination of Davis and Chaplin to spring into life. Davis squares it. Chaplin takes a touch, hits a pretty tame effort.
Shag!
Towards Amesley Pierce, who sort of shovels it in, really. I think it's just that by virtue of the fact he takes it quite quickly, I'm going to be fair to Pierce here. Yeah. Pierce here. He takes it quite quickly. He probably doesn't get a chance to set himself, et cetera, et cetera. But, you would have hoped that your goalkeeper, regardless of all that, should have saved it. And there was a bit of a delayed a split second delayed reaction because, as I say, we're up the other end of the pitch. And as I was saying before we started, it was similar to the Nathan Broadhead header at Barnsley away when we headed it in at the near post from the corner. It just took a slight split second for everyone to realize, oh shit, that's gone in. It was a great start. As Seb said on the pre-match, actually, is that they often score first and concede late. Well, this time round, it was us that started really well and started off the scoring.
Dave?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite odd, really. Just going back to the Broadhead and the shirt pull, as we'll get on to, the linesmen were pretty eager-eyed all that first half, really, weren't they? Well, perhaps especially in the other half. But, certainly they got away with one there. And
Craig, it's well disguised by Britain, wasn't it?
It was, as you see, because when you see it, when he starts to fall, I'm thinking, hang on, why does he not just hook the ball over his head? Why has he kicked it, you know? And then you can see he is off balance, and he's got hold of his shirt. It's a bunch of shirt there, and hopefully next season we'll get that, because VAR will sort it out. But the goal was, it's great from Chapman. Again, really good advantage from the ref, brilliant from Chapman, and it's that well-known. Davis just knows where, probably just puts it in an area, doesn't he? Because, you know, Chapman's really clever. He's held his run. And I think he should save it, shouldn't he? But he does, as Craig quite rightly said, he hits it really early. Well, first time, doesn't he?
What sort of a cricket spin bowl would that be to kick off and away from the keeper? Well,
Craig,
like that?
Is it an off-cutter, Craig? Is that a bit of an off-cutter?
It's a leg spinner if it's going away from...
spin bowling, spinner, leg spin. He just hits early, sort of it spins away from him, doesn't it? So even if you watch it on TV, you think, Jesus.
Yeah, you can't really work it out, can you? Yeah.
Not really. It's an odd one, really. But certainly on the first 10 minutes up to then, richly deserved. We were playing really, really well. Luongo was back on it again, wasn't he? And Morsy was just being Morsy-like. And we looked really, really lively.
Yeah, so the first half continues. It almost settles into a little bit more of a even pattern with Blackburn. You know, Smodic wasn't the furthest forward. It was always Dolan, and they could drop back and have, you know, sort of nine outfield players behind the ball, ready to hit. Hedges on one side, who's kind of just big and direct and powerful, and Dolan's a little bit pacier. And here we go with a crossfield ball over to Dolan. And Dave, you're going to be really pleased that I've bought my rule book today to help us out with this disallowed goal for Blackburn. So the ball goes in. It's cleared out to Rankin Costello, who hits the shot. Sammy Smodic is in an offside position and tries to jump out the way of the incoming ball. It deflects off. Who's our defender there? Is it
Edmondson? Yeah.
Yeah. So it deflects off our guy into the back of the net. And then the flag goes up for offside. I see the first replay and I'm like, oh, did Smodic touch that? In which case, it's, it's offside. And then we get into this great discussion. Oh, Smodic didn't touch it. So if they're flagged, they think that Smodic is interfering with play. So IFAB tells us interfering with an opponent is classified as preventing an opponent from playing or being able to play the ball by clearly obstructing the opponent's line of vision, challenging. Well, he doesn't challenge for the ball. He tries to jump out of the way, clearly attempting to play the ball, which is close, which impacts blah-de-blah. So the only thing we're talking about is he in the goalkeeper's line of vision? We need to respect the subjectivity of this. And we also need to understand that most people just choose the decision that suits them best emotionally, ergo, which team do they support? You know, do they want that goal going in or not? I think that would have stood with VAR. I think they would have said that Smodic wasn't completely in his line of vision and he tried to jump out the way. But I respect the subjectivity, Dave. And what's your take?
He's right on top of him, though, isn't he? I mean, line of sight or otherwise, he jumps over the ball.
He jumps to the side of the ball, doesn't he? The shot they had on Sky was from behind Rankin Costello.
I haven't seen it from behind the goal. I don't know if I have. But to me, it seems that he's certainly, and he's like 2 feet in front of him, isn't he? Jumps over the ball. That's got to be a distraction in itself. So I think, yes, his vision has been impaired somewhat there.
Ainsley Baird.
But look, and I totally agree. Very, very lucky to get away with it. I mean, the ball goes in. I'm sitting there at home watching it with Jordan, and we're saying, oh, sod in hell. And we almost come out of nothing. Again, one of those, you know, where we've bossed it, really, other than the one where the real comedy one where Edmondson just comedy after he hears a whistle, wellies it in his own net, which is quite funny. But other than that, they'd barely, again, a bit like Cardiff, laid a glove on us, had they? And you think, oh, Christ, here we go again. One serious first attack and they've equalised. But yeah, I admit, very lucky, to get away with it. But looking at it back, he's right on top of Flecky.
Craig, what's your take? Is he in his line of vision?
Well, I said, in real time in the ground, we couldn't work out who was offside because the ball had, when the ball was pulled back, obviously Rankin Costello wasn't offside because the ball's been pulled back to him and the shot goes straight in. So we couldn't really work out who was offside because the free kick was then taken from the centre of the six-yard box. And my boy Oscar was saying, well, it couldn't have been the guy wide because the ball's not being, the free kick's not being taken out. None of us could sort of work it out. I suppose, as Dave says, and I say, forgive me, I couldn't read what the letter of the law says, but was he in his eye line? Possibly not. But he was a distraction because he's just so close and just, if not directly, in his he's in his peripheral vision that something might happen, et cetera, et cetera. So it's probably one of those, Ben, isn't it, where, you're happy if it goes for you and not
very much
if it goes against you.
Yeah, the goal, if the goal's allowed, I don't think there'd be too many complaints there, really, would do you really? I don't think there would have been particularly.
But it's a good spot.
I thought, given there's no VAR, Dave, and you're until human until eyes I saw to do that back. In real time, it's impossible, isn't it?
No, I agree. Yeah. But until I saw it back, I thought it hit Smodics on the way in, I must admit.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
It's a good decision by the linesman to spot
very
it,
good.
And then it's up to the referee to then decide the line of sight, etc., etc. But for the linesman to actually see it, because it wasn't obviously miles offside either, to be fair.
But let's be completely honest, it's a guess. The linesman's on the side. He doesn't know line of sight.
No,
does
no.
He?
And no, that's what I'm saying.
Unless the referee stood in the line of the ball, he doesn't know line of sight. So it's just a guess at the end of the day. Is he in? Interfere, and they've probably gone with Dave's idea of, well, he's really close.
Yeah, he's in the box.
He's probably in the way. It's good. But as I say, always with these things, I think respect the subjectivity. It is or it isn't, and everyone's entitled to their opinion. Yep. And I think it's impossible for a human being to, in real time with the ball being hit like that, be able to tell. But I've put my Ipswich hat back on. I will fully accept that. That decision and be very happy with that. Craig, how did the rest of the first half play out after the disallowed goal?
Well, it was a pretty open game, to be fair. Certainly the second half of the first half, if you like. It was, as I say, open. They were occasionally getting forward. They had a couple, as Dave says about the Edmondson slamming it into the back of his net when it was going wide. They had a couple of other chances, but we were pretty dominant in that first half and certainly deserved the lead. The conditions weren't great. Unsurprisingly, it was raining a little bit in Blackburn and the wind was swirling around a fair bit as well. It was very similar, Dave. You were at Huddersfield, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, similar conditions to that, really.
It was a filthy, grey, damp, windy day.
Yeah, so it was really testing people's first touches and that, which is why that the Chaplin twist and turn and the Hutchinson spin to get his man book was such good pieces of skill and technique to control it. But as I said before about Morsi and Luongo, they were dictating it. They were on it yesterday, both of them.
Yeah.
And I believe when we got to half-time, obviously they did have a shot that got a disallowed goal, but they'd had no shots, Blackburn, Dave. I think zero shots and zero XG.
We hadn't really had many, have we? We had that brilliant bit, again, a brilliant first touch when a ball was pinged in into Chaplin. It gets a ball out of his feet, doesn't it? And it just kind of gets away from him, doesn't it? And he can't get any sort of purchase or power on the ball. And even Pears doesn't let that one in. But it's
unnecessary.
But to be fair, other than that, We one of those games where we always felt in control first half, but we didn't really create too much, did we?
We did not. Let's go into the second half, and I'm just going to jump us straight to the substitutions because we all know the narrative of the second half and where everything seems to change is the Blackburn subs in, and maybe more pertinently, the Ipswich subs out. So Moran and Iari come in on 62 for Blackburn, and then it's a triple sub by McKenna. In come Jackson, Sarmiento and Al Hamadi. Out go Broadhead, Chaplin and Moore. And Dave, the squad is what the squad is. And Kiefer Moore's played 120 minutes. I think on Tuesday, was it, for Wales? But this was the big turning point before it's just going to be basic Blackburn domination for the last half hour, isn't it?
Yeah, you lost that focal point and anyone being able to hold it up top. I've got to say, Al Hamadi showed his sort of rawness, I think, first and foremost on Friday, I think. Jackson really didn't influence the game much at all. He had one sort of fairly good run and intelligent run and, probably not a great first touch, pulled it wide. Sarmiento, I thought, did well. Sarmiento, do you know what I love about Sarmiento? He just loves a tackle, doesn't he? It's really unusual. He's a really flair player. He loves a tackle and he works hard, loves a tackle. So I thought of the three, he probably had made the most impact. But you just lost that. You just lost that focal point. And, when we were getting the ball out, it was just
case of quality as well. You lose when Broadhead goes out and Chaplin as well.
Do you know what? I thought Broadhead, I'd be critical of Broadhead. He's a great player. But again, did you not think, Craig? I thought he was slightly off it again.
He never comes to me on Broadhead because I'm too biased.
Well, I know he's too biased. I don't speak to him about Broadhead. But do you know what I mean?
We'll come to you on Harness, Ben.
Yeah. He's just some of the things, he's so good, but sometimes his first touch wasn't quite there again, was it, on Friday? And a couple of times, good ball in good possession, and just play careless balls and stuff, which, because he's set such high levels, such high standards, he just has the occasional game like that, doesn't he?
Yeah, that was what we were saying, watching it. Broadhead just had one of those games, the games that we've seen from him relatively infrequently. It doesn't quite happen.
Yeah.
And what you don't get, and as Dave says there about Sarmiento, what he does give you is the tracking back and the tackling. And, that made a difference. Whereas the other two substitutions, obviously, we had to take more off because he was blowing by then. And as you say, Dave, Al Hamadi looked... Even when he came on, he just didn't have his normal spark. And whether that's, we've been talking in the Telegram chat about it, whether that's to do with his fasting at the moment, whether that's to do with his groin, whether it's to do with a combination of the two, he just didn't seem to have that spark and that little bit of nip and pace around. I think, regardless of his touch.
And I think, Craig, surely the fasting's got to be a factor in a 5:30 game. It's got to be. And I know people have said, doesn't seem to affect Morsey. Well, Morsey's 34 years old, he's experienced, he's played through it for, 15 seasons or whatever at the top level, but a decent level, where Al Hamadi, he's got 21, he's just not perhaps, I think perhaps that is a fact that you might well be right. He might be carrying a slight injury as well. But it was up from the substitutions onwards, it was tough watch. It was almost really? It was always one of them, wasn't it? It really was.
We just couldn't get any foothold in the game at all. Yeah, 16 minutes onwards.
Yeah.
Sorry, let me just read this from one of our friends in the chat. Hawksmith, a bit of a bittersweet day for me on Friday. Dad, a lifelong Town fan, passed away in the morning, so never got to see us go top. Still, I reckon he was smiling down on us. So just our condolences from the from the pod team, and lots coming in on the the chat. And we really feel for your loss there. Porksmith, and I hope he was indeed smiling down. This last half hour, and there's another disallowed goal with the ball headed out of Flagkey's hands. Yeah. Or if you want Ipswich to concede a goal, Flagkey spilling it. The most nearly incredible getting caught on the ball and then making a horrendous mistake and then a brilliant save straight after. Not that it played the same way, Dave. It reminded me of that Rotherham game where you're sat there going, we cannot string two passes together. They're on top of us. They're growing in confidence. They are definitely
going
to score.
It was like the 10 minutes of added on time against Cardiff, but for a 20 minutes or 25 minutes, wasn't it? It was odd. So we're getting infuriated. You'd find it infuriating, but fortunately, we defended. Other than the Hladky's sort of almost disastrous mishap, we pretty much defended well, didn't we? Though, to be fair,
Yeah, we did. And the thing is, I was saying it earlier about it being a long Good Friday. I was in the lower tier, and the clock is between the top tier and the bottom tier. And the sheer amount of people...
Was it going backwards, Craig?
From about 60 minutes onwards, everyone around me and in front of me just glancing back. Oh, gosh, 62. And then you look at it, cross, son, you got to 64. The amount of sheer volume of people just looking back at this clock.
Again, though, we kept them reasonably at arm's length. They had the one from Smodics, which he sort of scooped, and I think Leggy might have got a touch on it. But other than that, he didn't really have, again, saved the make, really, did he? Not really.
Just nothing clear cut, but I say it's just that volume and that pressure. And just
yeah, you think it's going to tell, yeah.
In that area of the pitch for such a long time, weren't they? Yeah. So the ball very, very rarely broke up our end of the pitch. As you said, Dave Jackson had a couple of times where he was sort of released down the right, and it was literally just a couple of times. And the first time he picked Al Hamady out, who blazed it over, didn't he?
First time. That was good.
And the second time he shot across the keeper just wide. But that was pretty much all she wrote for us in the second half.
Yeah. I've got mixed feelings on it, guys, because on the one hand, it's completely unsustainable to, you know, have games like that and hold on and win. But on the other hand, it's been pointed out on this podcast a few times, the biggest struggles we've had watching Kieran McKenna's football is against Gareth Ainsworth at QPR away, against Rotherham. You know, in this game here, where Eustace is sat back and then they're going to press. And I don't know, we need to check the fixtures, how many more teams are going to kind of sit against us like that. But Craig, part of me thinks that it's not going to be like that every week, is it?
No, you wouldn't think so. And looking at the teams that we've got left to play, it doesn't, from my untrained eye, it doesn't look like there's many teams there that will play like John Eustace's teams or Rotherham will. They're all pretty open attack-minded teams, you would think.
Coventry, you've got it in the armour, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, as not to the extent you would hope, but we'll see.
I think it helped, we should mention that Sam Gallagher's absence probably helped. That they perhaps missed that physical presence right up top, didn't they?
Yeah, he would have. He'd certainly have been a good one to throw in for that last half hour where Blackburn just needed a goal, didn't they? So, look. That's the size of it. And I mean, the obvious consequence of it, and this is before the Leeds game, Dave, is that Ipswich go top, but Leeds are just not blinking at any point. Although we did smell a rat when we saw the Leeds team and how they'd been affected over the international break, perhaps. But yeah. I mean, as much as Twitter went into meltdown, Dave, and, you know, look, we've had a goal disallowed and we've scored a bit of a jammy goal and we've clung on in there. And I feel a bit like probably the Plymouth fans did last year, where it's all lone players and deflected FC and, you know, you're lucky buggers every week. But this team just knows how to win, Dave.
Yeah, it does. You get in that mentality, don't you? And you don't win 20, you said on your feed, Ben, I think you don't win 25 games in the championship by being a lucky team. You just don't. Yes, okay, it's in some games you need the run of the ball, but it does even out. Look, it's just testament to the squad and the character of the squad, isn't it? And what's been instilled in them. Because we've all said, you know, looking at games, perhaps games like that, not just over this season, maybe some of last season as well, that in years gone by, Ipswich just had such a soft underbelly. You could almost, Cardiff was an anomaly, wasn't it? You know, Ipswich have had such a soft underbelly. We'd have caved in games like that. You just do, you know, you would have done. But such is the belief and strength of character and that winning mentality, that just takes you through games like that. It just gets you through, no matter what. It just does. That sheer will to win is just something that I haven't seen in an Ipswich side for, well, many, many, many years.
What's your take on that to round us out, Craig? And how were you feeling on the terraces at the time?
Not quite as confident and as assured as Dave.
No, don't. I assure you, I wasn't
during the match.
Yeah, live.
Yeah, no, because as I say, it just got the feeling that it was coming, sort of thing. It was just building and building and building. But as Dave, as you say, you know, they didn't actually create anything of any great note. Lucky mistake apart, but yeah, it was the feeling on the terraces at the final was very much thank goodness for that. Let's head south with 3 points. So he probably didn't deserve it. And I was listening to Five Live on the drive back, just on catch up and stuff. And they were actually going to the report, the Five Live reporter who was at the game in real time, sort of thing, as it would have been an hour or two after the event. And they were saying that we just looked tired, you know, for the last 20 minutes or so. And I suppose we did, which is probably a bit of a concern because we didn't have that many away on international duty. But I think the conditions and the travel and everything probably just added up.
So just to round out this crazy, crazy day of 10 hours of football, off go Leeds United to Watford for the 8 p.m. A Watford side who have not been in good form, but have themselves a caretaker manager in Tom Cleverley. And maybe he got a little bit of a reaction with his change of style, perhaps. But Leeds unable to field Willy Nonto and... it's Gruev, wasn't it, in central midfield, which broke up.
Gruev, he's on the bench.
Kamara, and Firpo had played like on Wednesday AM, so even worse than Kiefer Moore. We knew there was a chance, and Watford are a year two parachute team. They've got good players, we know that. They're just, you know, not been joined up thinking there at that club for the last two seasons. And Watford led twice. But Leeds did get themselves the probably deserved equaliser if you're watching your 100th game of that day, or Craig, you were listening at somewhere on the M1 on the way back, or whichever M6, whichever way you came home, which left the league table incredibly. I'm having a moment again. Southampton fourth, 74 points, two games in hand. Leicester third, 82 points, one game in hand. Leeds second, 83 points, and played the same amount of games. And top of the league with 39 games played going into the final month, or the final full month, April, of the season. Seven games to go. Ipswich Town, who were in League One last season, are top of the table. And we're going to talk about Southampton in just a little jiffy. Let that sink in. Feel the pride for your amazing football team this season. And we will go to a short message, Dave, from our friends at Innovation Labs, top of the league.
Innovation Labs, providing co-working and innovation hubs across East Anglia. We're the perfect place for remote workers, freelancers, startups or innovators to do business. Our unique member network creates extensive business development and collaboration opportunities. Hot desks are available from £20 a day or £99 per month, with business coaching also available from £50. Innovation Labs, turning your ideas into multi-million pound businesses. Located in Stowmarket, Ipswich, Sudbury, with new sites in Thetford, Norwich and Kuala Lumpur opening soon.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across six different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, thanks to the guys at Innovation Labs for their continued support of the pod and also the fine people at NordVPN. You can still use the promo for your NordVPN for your web security, which is by following the link down in the description here on YouTube. We are going to be very, very busy this week. And we've not thought about what's happening next Saturday because of the thick and fast Easter weekend. But we will be live. I'll be watching along on my YouTube channel. We'll simulcast that down the Blue Monday channel as well tomorrow. And hopefully we're going to have Seb pop in at halftime to give his views on Ipswich versus Southampton. We're going to hear Dave's and Craig's in just a minute. There'll be a Southampton reaction, a mini flagship, basically. Let's be honest, it's not going to be mini. We'll waffle along for about an hour, won't we? So that'll be 8 p.m. Tuesday. And then on Thursday, our attentions turn. I don't know who we've got at the weekend. Whoever we're playing at the weekend, we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about that game against whoever we've got at the weekend on Sunday night. And for some reason, Craig, my heart just started to beat a little bit faster, but I'm kind of enjoying A, it being on a Saturday, and B, there being a game the Monday before, because that's only 6 days. Only 4 days I need to sit in a dark room before it rather than 6 days. I can just focus on the Southampton game, which is coming up on Monday, Craig. So this is one of three head-to-heads at the top of the table in this run-in, and all the head-to-heads involve Southampton playing away games. So this is the first. Southampton go to Leicester in midweek in the middle of April. And then, whether it means anything or not, they will go to Elland Road on the final day of the season. So they could have a say in something, but it could be all done, as tends to happen with round 46. The narrative with Southampton, Craig, was, you know, parachute team, great squad, amazing. Bad start. We beat them in September during that bad start. Players, different ideas from Russ Martin. Then a huge undefeated streak right through the winter, 23 games in the EFL. Bit of a slip since, which has kind of left it, Craig, whereby it almost looks like they need to score at least 7 points in the three head-to-heads against Ipswich, Leicester and Leeds. And there's now a bit of a sense after the weekend that were Ipswich Town to beat Southampton and put a 13-point gap in between the two sides, with Saints would then only have 8 games to play, there is, I hate even saying it, Craig, a bit of a sense of, can you tick off the first opponent of the top four to finish above by beating Southampton at Portman Road on Monday?
Yes, you would have thought so by virtue of just the sheer amount of points that we would be ahead should it happen. But I'm doing a little bit of a Seb's job here, given he's not going to appear pre-match. But they score a lot of goals. They're only second to us in terms of goals per game, if you average it out over the number of games played. 0.1 difference between the two teams. We score just over two and they score exactly 2 goals per game. They have the most shots on target in the league per game on average, the most touches in the opposition box, the most corners, the most possession won in the final third. They're not, you know, it's not going to be a rollover by any means. And if, as you say, Ben, they've got a decent squad with decent players, and if they turn it on, then we're going to have to be at our very, very best to overcome them. So you just got to hope that maybe a bit like Friday, that Armstrong, albeit he scored, him maybe Shea Adams doesn't have his shooting boots on, and he skews one wide from 4 yards again. And yeah, you come out on top. I think it's going to be a tricky old game because, as you say, Southampton need to come out and win. Whether that plays to our advantage, you know, we can maybe not play quite as expansive as we normally do at home and pick them off. We'll talk about in a second in terms of the potential lineup and who can assist us in that. But as I say, I think from an attacking perspective, Southampton pretty much up there with us in all the metrics.
Dave?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think they need to win. Southampton need a win, I think, tomorrow. You know, looking at it, is it negative? Would you take a point from that now, move on? I mean, ideally, home game, we've been so good at home. You want to win. I mean, really looking forward to the game because this, you know, they're not going to, you know, we spoke about certain direct sides earlier on, where they're not going to play like that. It's going to be a it's going to be a proper game. And I just looked again. Just look at the squad. You look on, on Friday, who didn't start? They brought Brooks on. They brought Fraser on. They left Rothwell on the bench.
Didn't come on, did he?
Oh, they had that incredible run, didn't they? And then lost at Bristol City, and then lost those two home games in a week, didn't they? In what, 3 or 4 days to was it Hull and Millwall, Hull and Millwall, I think.
Hull and Millwall, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Picked up with, you know, results then. Then, of course, they were in the cup as well. So I think Friday was their first game since the 9th of March, I think. They'd played for like three, hence their two games behind. So they've now got to play, what, 9 games in, what, just over 30-odd days. So, massive. I saw someone on the chat there saying probably our biggest, you know, tomorrow's game is probably our biggest game in the second tier for, probably back to any of those games at the back end of 2014-15, because obviously the season we got relegated, we were gone, done and dusted. So, massive game, looking forward to it. But, yeah, looking at their side, there's some quality. You know, you look at, the matchup, Flynn Downs, Sammy Morsey, Massimo Luongo, Armstrong, Smallbone in midfield. I think looking at that,
Walker Peters and Broadhead.
Walker Peters and perhaps Broadhead, maybe not. Don't know. It's gonna be a great game. 5:30 on Sky, absolutely superb. But yeah, if we can come out of that game without being defeated, a point, get at least take a point from that game, all right, it might mean we lose top spot, but yeah, that's a fair old dent in, even for them, you know, for them to drop 2 points tomorrow is a fair old dent, I think, is quite a lot to make up still. So yeah, really just looking forward to it.
Yeah, I agree with Dave, Craig. Even though Southampton have obviously got a fantastic squad of players accumulated over most of them over 11 years in the Premier League, longer than
came
Leicester.
Up with Norwich, came up with Lambert's Norwich, didn't they? Ricky Lambert.
Don't remind me about that. But you almost prefer to be playing against a team that's going to try and circulate the ball, try and score goals against us. Both teams will leave themselves open. It feels destined for both teams to score, Craig. And do we have, despite the fact that they have more money and more resources in playing squad, guy in our dugout, home advantage, and our momentum. I'm feeling good about those three things.
Yeah, and also, as Dave said, about by virtue of the team just being used to winning games, as Dave said, 25 games having won in the Championship already this season. It's a team that's just used to winning one way or the other. It's a team that's used to scoring goals. It's a team that's used to not panicking if they concede early, if they go behind. It doesn't, they just keep doing what they do and keep going until such time as they win the game. We'll talk about team selection. I'm not entirely sure Broadhead
Craig, let's go there now. Spin into that now.
Yeah, okie doke. I would think Burgess may well come back in for Edmondson. I suppose it's Luongo's a tricky one. If he's fit enough, he'll obviously play. No, I think Twenzabi's been playing well. He played well yesterday again. Friday again. Did absolutely fine. And also, what Clark does if he's on the bench, he gives, as he did on Friday, gives you the option of coming on for Davis should he have to towards the end of games. Luongo's the one, I suppose. If he's not fully fit and he doesn't play, it's going to be a job for Travis. You would have thought. Yeah. And I hope Travis has got his running boots on, because he'll be doing a lot of covering for Leif Davis, because, you know, Leif Davis is going to be doing as much defending as Walker Peters will be on the other side, you would have thought. And then about him, who do you play on the right? I don't think Broadhead will play. I don't think it's a game for Broadhead, both on in terms of the performance from Good Friday and also just that defensive work. You would expect either Jackson or Sarmiento to do that job, just do a little bit of donkey work, just to give us a little bit of cover over there. Other than that, I'd imagine it will stay relatively the same.
What's the old Barry Davis comment, Ben, when you said that about Broadhead Craig? Look at his face. Just look at his face. Broadhead.
I think I'd start Clark as well. So I think we're double disagreeing on that one, Craig, but I'll probably be wrong. And Dave, what's your take on Craig's selection and how many minutes can Kiefer Moore play in this game?
Oh, we need
Please,
it tomorrow.
Can it be very close to 90?
Don't forget, Davis went off fairly early the other day, but apparently he'd been under the... I don't think it was a muscle injury. He'd been under the weather, did I read, with flu or something like that.
He had a yellow card, and Clark is just a physical blooming specimen when you're clinging on
I think I saw McKenna say afterwards he'd had virus.
He did have a virus as well.
So you think he's going to be fit. Yeah, I think I agree with Craig. I think that's perhaps if Luongo's not up to it tomorrow. I think if he's fit and flying, he'll play. If he's not, then I think it's a game for Travis.
That's very good, FPL Tractor. That's a pot master.
There we go. Hey,
carry on, Dave.
Yeah. And I think Broadhead, again, it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't start tomorrow and he went with perhaps Sarmiento or maybe even Harness. We'll see. But, yeah, I don't think other than that, let's hope, Moore's fully fit. You know, he's had, 3 days rest? So, similar to they have. Hopefully, as McKenna always says about Moore, thorough professional, proper professional, looks after himself, will want to play and we'll need him tomorrow.
And just about Broadhead, we're not saying he's a poor player or anything, and obviously he performs better in home games, and if you're not in the team, you just lose. Maybe he doesn't get as many shots off as Sarmiento does or Jackson does. He gives you that option, but I just think, and he is, you would prefer to have him in home games than away games, but I just wonder.
All I'll say is what's coming up on the following Saturday, and if you're gonna start Broadhead in one of those two games, I think it's the home game against Southampton.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But again, I'm ridiculously biased because I'm a massive fanboy.
Different quality. Just the last home game, it was absolutely superb. All right, Sheffield Wednesday, different quality side tomorrow, but it was absolutely superb. I thought he was just about back to his best against Sheffield Wednesday. As we said, going back, just one or two things. I don't think he had a particularly horrid game the other night, just slightly off as he is sometimes, because as we said, he's got such a high ceiling, such high levels. He was just when Broadhead slightly off it, I think you really notice it, I think.
Right, we're gonna go to our predictions that we've made. We will go to questions, so store up your questions. We'll be there about the 50-minute mark in the pod, depending on how long Dave gives for his next answer in the next question. Might be around 51 and a half, Dave, mightn't it? I'm winding him up, aren't I? Yes, yes. But just, guys, it's Easter. We're on the TV. The stadium's going to be full. We're top of the league. Not only are we in and around the parachute teams, we're above all of them, although Leicester might have overtaken us because they're in early against Norwich, aren't they? It's just absolutely brilliant, this, isn't it, compared to what we've had in the Championship, whilst looking at from afar at the top of the table around the Easter time, just utterly, utterly brilliant. And we are here for it. What we are also here for, Dave, is our predictions. Now, apparently, this is the results of the March predictions. How many points did we get then? I see Rich and Mikey, Dave and Craig were all, does that mean they were one out? Did we get 12 points then?
I think 12 out of 15 is on the left, look, the bottom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, got you. So I was two out. Look, I was very miserly with my prediction, and Joe just predicts wins every week. So big well done to Craig, Dave, Mikey and Rich, who were all one away. Get your predictions in via the chat. Who's the miser now, you lot? Hey, because I've gone all in on us getting 16 points in the final seven games, which would take us to 100. Craig's gone. Get your totals in the chat. We'll put them up on the screen.
Which might scrape us third. Well done.
Craig's gone 14. Dave's gone 12. Yeah, Joe surprisingly has not gone for 21.
He's
gone
22.
14
there. Mikey's gone 14. Seb has the lowest expectations there with 11. And Rich with 12. Get your totals in. But, Craig, this is so bloody hard when there's a game against Norwich coming up to even think past this one and this one. And I've had so many conversations with Dave this season of, all right, let's just get up to that run before Christmas where we play all the parachute teams. Let's just get past the transfer window and not sell Leif Davis. Let's just get Morsi past his suspension. Let's just... And the last one of these, the last one of David Diamond's bloody milestones was get past Southampton and Norwich. And I can't look past... Dave's got me obsessing about that, Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an important week, isn't it? But and just looking at our total, we of those four home games, they Southampton, Borough, Hull, Huddersfield, win just your four home games takes you to 96 points. Oh my
obscene,
goodness.
Isn't it? Absolutely which is, obscene.
Yeah. Which, you know, as you said earlier, Ben, which with our home record and with the way that we play at home, you wouldn't and we've already won 25 games all this season. So what's another four or five just to chuck into the
next. Craig, do you know what's bloody terrifying me now? You've said that. If we're running this narrative of we play better against open teams and not against set play defensive teams, I don't like Huddersfield on the last day of the season for one.
Don't even go there.
Sauber Thomas and Michael Hellick and Brighton Writer. Dave, I'm ribbing you a little bit about the milestones, but my God, this is massive, Southampton and then Norwich, isn't it?
Yeah, incredible. You know, let's face it, Norwich are what, third in current form? I think it goes Leeds us. I think they actually level on points with us, aren't they? Over the last, was it 10 games or whatever? How many games it is? I think it's 10, 9 or 10. Look, two absolutely, absolutely massive games. You know, there's a whole other narrative going on. Well, it always is when you play Norwich, but there's the whole, you know, we've got to put that out of our minds. Haven't beaten them in 15 seasons. It will be now, probably, won't it?
But David, goes from, sorry to interrupt, mate. It goes from this is the biggest game in years on Monday until Saturday, which is then the biggest game straight after it.
Yeah, no, it is absolutely, absolutely. I mean, imagine in a utopian world, we win both those games. How big the Watford game's going to be Tuesday week or Wednesday week.
Christ. Imagine sitting here next Sunday.
Oh, don't.
Up to six points.
Can you imagine? Oh, it's sitting out 90 points. You have the cigars out. You have the cigars out.
And Leicester having been beaten at home by Norwich tomorrow at lunchtime.
Which, I tell you, is not
beyond. Norwich are on fire. Yeah. Cool,
mate, not much. That is not beyond the realms.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's you know what I was just about to say about would you take that if that happened and but they helped us out. I'm not even going to say it. Mm. Right, guys, get your questions in. I think we've covered all our points and we can get some answers from David and Craig on some questions. Stick a question mark in afterwards and a Q beforehand. Let's have a little scroll up because I'm sure some would come up earlier. Okay, man. Oh, there's the highest one there. Neil, does anyone believe KM when he says he doesn't look at the league? Well, Craig, he just tells people he doesn't look at the league when he knows everything about everything, right?
Yeah, the amount of detail he puts into everything else, I'd imagine he might have occasional glance.
I think he probably is aware.
He's probably aware where we are in the league. So, yeah, but, it served them well last year, didn't it? As we've said all along, they've got the experience, maybe not the experience of leading the division, but certainly the experience of just having to churn out results.
That's a great point, though. Let me flip that over to Dave as the questions come in. That's a really good point from Craig. They've not been top. And they've been hunted by Sheffield Wednesday and Barnsley last season. That wasn't Daniel Farker and Leeds, Leicester and Dewsbury Hall and Vardy and Southampton we're coming up against tomorrow. It's different now, isn't it? God.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, but look, every point at this stage, every point, as Mikey would say, every point's a prisoner, and certainly is at this stage. So, well, 84 points, we're ahead of Leeds, or ahead of Leeds by a point. Leicester two, is it, or is it a point or two points ahead of Leicester now? Every point's crucial now, so top or otherwise, again, you know, such as the mentality coming from the coach, I just don't think there's an issue.
Michael asks, Craig, do you think they'll take a risk and get Hurst on the bench for the last few games, however fit he is to play the last 10 minutes or so? I think we're leading with science on that one, aren't we?
Yeah, you would have thought so. You're not going to... you're not going to risk the risk. The word risk there is probably the most important one. Yeah, I don't think you're going to risk it. And yeah, you know, what you don't want is for him to come back early, for him to pull up, for him to need surgery all throughout the summer. And then regardless of what division you're in August, he's playing catch up, et cetera, et cetera. I can't imagine they'll need, if he can manage 10 minutes, if the science says he manages 10 minutes, then yeah, by all means, of course.
Bench break. That would be, we'd feel less bad about Kiefer coming out, wouldn't we? Kiefer Moore. I always tell people off for referring to players by their first name. When we're not their friends, we just admire them from afar with posters on our walls of Nathan Broadhead. I think I've already put that question up. David, can you bring yourselves to support Norwich at lunchtime tomorrow? Are we hoping both teams lose? Dave, can that almost be a no-lose situation, though? Because Norwich is...
I think so.
Iffy streak could end, or Norwich excellent streak could end. Or...
No, I think that's a great game for us tomorrow, that one. I'm not concerned about either result, really. A draw would be great. I'd certainly be happy enough with that.
Dave, if you've got your head purely in this promotion race,
You want Norwich win.
You want Norwich to win this game.
But then you look further ahead from tomorrow, and crikey, a Norwich win at Leicester. That's going to give them so much momentum. However, we beat Southampton tomorrow. My God, I mean, yeah, blockbuster game. What it is anyway, yeah. Next Saturday. So. I think I saw someone on the chat there. A draw tomorrow would suit me fine, I think, in that one.
Charlie, I think Norwich are dependent on Josh Sargent. Would shutting him down allow us to beat them? Craig, I think we are into easier said than done territory there, aren't we?
Yeah, we'll stop him from scoring. Done. But it was quite interesting, actually. I was reading somewhere on Twitter that he's scored, was it 8 home games in a row? I think he scored in the stat was, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But yeah, he has been the fulcrum, hasn't he, of their turnaround. We've kept star strikers quiet in the past. We might keep Adams and Armstrong quiet tomorrow. So who knows? I'm sure we'll have a plan for it. I think we can rest easy knowing that.
Massive thank you to Paul there. A £20 super chat. Thank you so much. We're almost at 300 for our group. Have a cider on us, boys, from at ITFC Southwest. Thank you so, so much, Paul, and the ITFC Southwest guys. We really, really do appreciate that donation.
Just getting back to Sargent, he's proper their talisman, isn't he? I mean, their record with him and the team is just ridiculous compared with when he hasn't been there. He is the threat, but no, they've got some Sara and others, signs, or I don't particularly dislike immensely, but yeah, they're technically very, very, very good players, aren't they? Now comparing signs with, hey, you'd like this, Ben. I saw somewhere they're comparing signs to Emi Buendia. What do you make of that?
I don't like that for one minute. The
blooming, no, I didn't like that at all.
Havoc he caused in there.
If it's achieved that level, I didn't. No, I don't like that at all.
We just need a Vardy Sargent scuffle in the box at a penalty, a corner for them both to get sent off. Or
that's what you want, isn't it?
Is Kieran McKenna watching on Netflix? I have it on good authority, lads, that Kieran McKenna's Netflix account literally only plays The Last Dance with Michael Jordan on repeat over and over and over again. What do we got here in the chat? Graham, are we aware Leicester have collapsed over the last few seasons? Graham, we are aware and across everything. Don't you worry about that. What else have we got? David, this is from JB. What's the situation with Morsi and Luongo with bookings? Are they close to suspension? And how does it work with the possibility?
So Luongo, I think, picked up his 9th, did I see the other day? And Morsi has been booking free for a while. It seems a while for Morsi now. Craig, any? Seems like half a dozen games can't be.
Yeah, bear with me. I'll look it up. Hold with me. But in terms of what would be interesting, and I don't know, and I asked a question on Telegram, in terms of bookings, Morsi's bookings going into the playoffs. If he picks up his 15th booking in the Huddersfield game and gets a 3-match ban, happen to drop into third, for example, does that tick him off 2 playoff semi-finals and the final?
Wow.
We will look into that.
What is Morsi on now, do we think? I'm sure he's got 2 in hand, hasn't he?
he's on 12 or 13, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I think he's got a couple in there, hasn't he? Seems that, yeah, it seems he's gone a while since for more
Birmingham.
Since
Birmingham at home was his last booking.
Wow, that's
February the 24th.
Six games ago. Six games. Incredible.
There we go. Let me
absolutely.
Beans, I've just looked it up. There we go. Morsi, 12. Travis, 9. Obviously, most of them for Blackburn. Luongo, 9 are the big risks.
Protagonists,
there.
Yeah.
But yes, we will look that up and see if there's any kind of amnesty going into the playoffs.
Gord Young has said no more suspensions, is only up to 38 matches.
We'll look it up, and no offense to what anybody's saying in the chat.
Yeah,
we'll
I'm
look
not sure
it up
about that.
That's what we'll do. Yeah. Lee, are Leicester being fined and maybe docked points before the end of the season or at the end of it? Leicester will not be, unless they're going to administration, which is not going to happen, in which case they'll be immediately docked 12 points. No, that's going to be in with the lawyers now, probably for a good 6 months or so. And we just need to forget about that, don't we? However frustrating it is for us. Joe Fares correctly pointed out, though, and I'm not getting all narky about it, but Derby County were sued by both Wycombe Wanderers and Middlesbrough for something reasonably similar, where accounts weren't submitted, and if they had been submitted on time, Wycombe would have stayed in the Championship, Middlesbrough would have got into the playoffs, and those... It didn't go to court, but Mel Morris settled before it went to court. So this is going to rumble and rumble and rumble. And I kind of don't want to think about it. And we can just sort of get on with it, can't we? Brian, thank you. $9.99 on the Super Chat. Cheers, guys. We'll be over for Borough match. See you in the Greyhound. I would say David Diamond will buy you a pint in the Greyhound.
I will. Actually,
David Diamond's wallet is surgically locked shut in any public place, Craig.
Well, talk about pot calling a kettle there.
Mate, I've got a 2-year-old in childcare and my mortgage just went up 36%.
Here we go. Brian, great lad. Met Brian, I think before the, that could have been Bristol City, might have been earlier, one of the earlier midweek games is over in the ground. And I think Brian's trips coincides with I think he's doing a bit of Europe, a family European tour, I think. So, look forward to seeing you, Brian. Thanks for that.
Very, very nice to Harsh, Dave, get on to your lawyers. If David Diamond, who I know works with some of the world's most highly qualified lawyers, I would like to row back from that statement, put the word allegedly before it, and we'll get Richard to edit it out.
I'm on the phone to Clyde and Co. as we speak.
Oh, dear. In which case, we better end the podcast, Beans. I'm not going to have a piss the pot in after this. Craig, just sum this up. I know we've been here a few times this season. Top of the league going into Easter Monday. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's exactly that, isn't it, Ben? It's unbelievable. But, you know, we've got full trust in these guys now. We've got full trust in the players. We've got full trust in the manager to hopefully get us over the line. You know, we've been here before. Where were we this time last year? They're just pretty relentless, aren't they? They're seemingly able just to block out any outside noise, despite being in the league above and there being a bit more around us. You know, in terms of the media, etc. You've just got to trust them that they'll just stay blinkered. Stay focused and what we're saying about whether McKenna looks at the league table, what I do trust him with is he just looks at one game to the next, and I think that's drilled in. Well, we don't. We'll look probably two games ahead, but you can feel pretty sure that they'll be looking at one. And as we've all said, this is the week, isn't it? This time next week, we'll know an awful lot more about where we stand.
David, last word from you, matey.
No, I mean, completely agree. I mean, we've spoken about it before. The symmetry going back to the last season is just ridiculous. Almost from the same beginning, you know, mid-February, you know, the Millwall game. I mean, I saw someone say on there in the chat again, mad, ridiculous, unbelievable. It just is and look, games like, well, that's coming up tomorrow and on Saturday. It's just what we've yearned for 10 seasons or more, so just enjoy it. Absolutely enjoy it. Go with the ride. Unbelievable.
Which one of my lucky playlists do you want me to sing us out on, Craig?
What's the most difficult one to sing?
Luck be a lady tonight.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.